Praise God. Well, we're teaching a series called Kingdom of Authority. One of the reasons I use it, lots of times they talk about authority, but the Lord spoke to me about some things dealing in areas of authority. We use the word kingdom because we need to understand this about authority. Authority in the kingdom of God is different than authority we look at really from our governmental standpoint. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. You have not been given a vote. You know, see, we were born again into a kingdom that all the rules and regulations of that kingdom have already been established. There'll never be any new rules or regulations in it. The constitution of the kingdom of God never changes. It never changes. It doesn't change as society changes. See, it's what we're dealing with today. One of the reasons we're dealing, the Church of America is in really bad situation. They're bad shape generally, all told, because we have allowed ourselves to change as society changes, then Christianity changes. Well, I'm sorry, the kingdom never changes. You don't have any place of faith in any kingdom that changes. You need to understand that. You don't have a place of faith to stand. We need to understand that the thing that you and I can trust the Word of God because it will never change. The rules don't change. How it operates never changes. That's how you can constantly trust it. That's why you can't trust the American government today. It constantly changes. What is bad one day, the next day is a good thing. It's a constant change because, see, men keep changing it, trying to fit society. You know, democracy is a good thing as long as people aren't involved. People ruin it. Because we need to understand that. John Adams said that. We go back way back to John Adams. He said, once people find out they can vote things that, you know, benefit, just to benefit them, he said, democracy's over. That's what we have today. People vote whatever suits them. Not to whatever, we became a democracy. Actually, we were a republic. That's what we are, is a republic. It was about the good of everybody, not certain groups. And today it's all about groups. And we broke ourselves into a million different groups. And we have nothing but chaos. But the kingdom of God's not like that. And this is why the church is struggling so much today. Because this church has left the gospel. Because the gospel has never changed. What is gospel? And the gospel is not just Jesus died for your sins. That ain't just the gospel. Paul, go read where he says and makes statements about what was his gospel, and he wasn't even talking about getting born again. Whatever the word God says is his gospel. Whatever's in the word that deals with us is his gospel. Healing's gospel. Deliverance of any kind is gospel. Living right is gospel. All those things are gospel. And people say, you know, we preach the gospel, and they preach, you know, maybe 2% of the Bible. They call that we preach the gospel. It's like, no, you don't. And we need to understand, you know, it's not fun. It's not exciting to preach the things out of the word that correct us. You know, we want the things that tell us, wow, we're great and doing all this. And we say, but there's things in the Bible that get sort of hard to read. You know, God chastens the ones he loves. I mean, we just want to hang around that scripture a lot. But I figured this out. God must really love me because he chastens me a lot. And if he don't chasten you, I doubt if he loves you. I don't think he does. We must not. Because he said he chases the ones he loves. People that aren't getting chastening, well, then he must not love them. Well, people are getting chastened. They just ignore it. That's what they do. They ignore it. Me, I know God chastens me because he loves me. He doesn't chase me to hurt me. He chases me because he wants good. He wants to bless me. He wants to do something for me. Chastening comes so you can get in line to get blessed. If you didn't get chastened, you'll never get blessed. This is why so many Christians aren't blessed. They don't accept chastening. They don't realize it's for their good. You know, they're looking for a church. You know, the Bible tells us in the end times they would look for preachers. They draw preachers to themselves. They're going to draw ones to themselves. In other words, people who are going to say what I want to hear. There's lots of times I need to hear what I didn't want to hear. Have you ever been there? If you haven't, well, I'm going to tell you that either you're deaf and you need some hearing aids, or you're just a downright liar. One of the two. But everybody has things that we need to hear to correct us. There's nothing wrong. Correction's a wonderful thing. You know, today some people just like to keep doing what's wrong. Because, you know, don't tell me, you know, I want to keep doing what I'm doing, even though it's destroying them. They want to keep doing what's doing is wrong, because don't tell me, you know, I have my choices. Well, you have your choice, but well, the whole thing of it is, when life falls apart, don't call me and ask me for a fix. Because for a fix means you're going to have to change. And so I found that it's always good to be willing to change. Just get over the fact, be willing to change. And all through life, you're going to have to find out you got to change. Especially you're going to learn you're going to have to change if you're going to constantly keep yourself in any education of any sort. Now, we're talking about authority, and we're going to deal with kingdom authority and God dealing with us. We've been talking about this. And let me say this to you, because of things that fit together, if you don't understand the subject of authority in the Bible and you don't understand your authority, you will never have a very successful faith life or prayer life. You won't. Never be very successful. You have to understand authority. Most of the time when people are supposed to be coming to God based on authority and prayer, people aren't coming in any authority at all. You know, Mark 11:24 is about asking for something you believe belongs to you. It's not about something you're asking God to give you and you aren't sure if He wants you to have it. If you don't know that He wants you to have it, you can't have faith. How could you trust God to give you something you didn't know He wanted you to have? You can have no faith. You can't have a lick of faith. Mark 11:24 is for a person who knows where they stand with God. And they're asking, because how could you believe you received something you didn't know if He wanted you to have? You couldn't believe you received it. See, most people pray, they're asking to see if God will give it to them, and they'll say, I'm trusting God. No, they're not. You haven't trusted God, do you believe you received it? And if you really believed you received it, it's going to change what you do from then on. Once you believe you have something was given to you, you're never going to act the same. This is why most Christians, they keep the long face. Well, I'm just praying and trusting God. I knew this. They're in unbelief. Forget it. If you believed you received it, you get a smile on your face. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe I received my healing. See, the Bible tells you, whether it's healing or whatever it is, if you ask God for it, you're supposed to believe you receive it when you ask. Not believe you. Don't get happy when it shows up. When you only get happy when it shows up, I know this. You had nothing to do with it showing up. Because your faith didn't bring it. Either God's mercy or God listened to somebody else who prayed for you. But somebody, you need to understand that. See, I get excited. I had some people one day, this is years ago, at a certain thing I was praying about. And these people knew that I was praying about this thing, and it came to pass. And they said to me, you didn't seem so happy when that happened. I said, happy? I said, I was happy months ago when I believed I received it. I said, I did my shouting then. I believed I had it. I said, the fact that I knew it was going to show up, why would I act like it was some big deal? And no big deal. I knew it was coming. You know, I don't turn around and order something offline, and when it shows up in the mailbox, I go, oh my God, it came! I knew it was coming! But this is Christianity today. Calling stuff faith, it ain't got nothing to do with faith. Most ministers don't even know what faith is and talk about it. Don't even have a clue what it is. They say, well, it's trust in God. Well, trust means something. How do you trust God? How do you do? They never tell you how. They just use the word trust. They just throw it out there. Well, I'm trusting. Well, how are you trusting? Well, I'm just believing. Well, how are you believing? How is it? They can't tell you. It's just words. They just stack word on words on words on words. But it never amounts to anything. Faith is the substance of the thing you hope for. Faith brings substance. When I got faith, I got the substance for what I want. Hallelujah. That substance is the thing I need and it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Well, we could go on and do some teaching on that. But we're going to go over here and look at some other things. One of the things we want to look at is this. We were talking about last week in the areas of faithfulness. I'm going to quick just read some scriptures. You can write them down. I'm not going to wait till you turn to them. But in Luke 16, 10 through 12, we said there, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in what is much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in righteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is yours? And then Luke 19 and verse 16 and 17 says, then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful in a little, have authority over 10 cities. Now, in other words, he was telling him, they're faithful in what is little. We need to understand about authority and gaining authority. We don't operate, you know, you can help your life a whole bunch if you learn this principle, especially dealing with other people about faithfulness. God is telling us, or Jesus is talking, and he's God last time I checked. Now, if he said something, this is the last on the subject, we don't need another opinion. We don't need one. And he said, if you're not faithful with little things, you're not going to be faithful with big things. That settles it. Don't tell me that somebody that ain't faithful in little things, that you can trust them with something else. You see, authority, you're going to have, the Lord spoke to me to teach on these because authority. See, God has given authority in the earth, but there's a lot of things that ain't going to work for people because they're not faithful. They're not faithful little. You can't hand them more. Because like I said, we don't take a little kid and hand him a loaded gun. Well, today you do. But anyhow, we used to, where I come from, you didn't do that. You didn't do that kind of thing. Today, you know, you might, people do anything. But we wouldn't do that. See, you would never do that to somebody. In other words, to have something big to deal with. And we found out the concern this, and you need to understand about spiritual things. God views you on the basis of how you deal with things in the natural, because they will determine whether how you treat the spiritual. The spiritual things are more important than the natural things. See, this is one thing as I learned about this over the years concerning faithfulness. I asked the Lord this one time when I was just growing up in Christianity, and I said, Lord, I said, I get so much revelation from the Word. Why do you give me revelation so easily? Because I was in a church with a pastor, and he called his office in his basement the dungeon, and he would get under. He would fight over a weekend trying to get a message. And I used to think, my God, I could stand up Sunday morning and preach 27 different messages. You know, I have to find out which one I'm supposed to do. And he just struggled all the time getting it. But one of the things, as I understood, is he didn't understand about operating in faith and in the gift he had. He never put faith. He was always trying to mentally do everything. Trying to do it. And that'll drive you crazy. Gotta learn to listen to your spirit. But there's one thing the Lord said to me. He said, when you get revelation, he said, you give it away. You see, given it shall be given unto you. That's why a lot of people never go where and I, you know, they want to sit in the church and get fed and fed and fed, but they don't put nothing out to nobody else. They ain't putting out to anybody else. They ain't doing nothing. So don't be surprised. See, those principles don't work. See, we've used that stuff so much over in the areas of money. And this is a law of the kingdom. It fits everything. Given it shall be given unto you. It's everything. It isn't just that. It doesn't work just there. Given it shall be given unto you. What are you giving out? You giving misery to people? Don't you be surprised. You get misery back all the time. You're sowing misery, you're going to reap misery. It's a principle that just works. It works. And so it's the same thing with revelation. You know, you get something, give it out. You get something. See, we're great hoarders. The church in America has become hoarders. We're just full of information, not doing a thing with it. Filling up. Sitting around, you know. It's like going to the buffet and just eating and going to go home and sit on the couch. Well, come on, that's
get with it. You know, that's what it would do for you. The same thing. Spiritually, you can become spiritually really an overbalanced and over where you're turning around trying to feed all the time. And after a while, you just become a sluggish Christian and not going nowhere doing nothing. The word is to be put into practice when you get it. It's not to be something that you said, because your faith will never grow without practice. This is why people that they've sat listened to 4,000 messages on faith and still can't get their faith to operate. They've heard 239,000 teachings on healing and still can't get healed. It isn't about information. It's about how to do it. You'll never have any more than you apply your faith to. Success is based on doing information. It's not knowing it. It's in doing it. And so when you learn to do it, you need revelation. I don't know why I caught that early, but I caught that right away listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching. He talked about acting on the word, and I was only a few months old as a Christian. I said, Lord, what does he mean when he's talking about acting on the word? What do I do to act on the word? And God began to teach me things, and you know what? I found this out. Why people don't do it. Doing the word can be uncomfortable because it runs contrary to all your friends. It'll run contrary to people around you, and they'll think, what is wrong with you? They've gotten weird. Amen, brother. I'm weird. I belong to the weird group. Hallelujah. I'm weird and having fun. I want to read you something, though, about faithfulness here. In Proverbs 25:19, I didn't use this last week, but I want to give you this scripture because all of us, we've experienced this around people. And it has to do with the faithfulness. It says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Amen. Preach it. Oh. Putting your confidence in somebody that is unfaithful. Everybody has paid prices for giving unfaithful people responsibilities. And when you really need them, they were the one that kicked you. And 90% of the time it was our fault. We knew that they weren't faithful, but I've watched them do this. I've seen people in management do this when I worked in companies, and I've watched them say, well, this one guy, you know, and this guy ain't been really faithful stuff, but maybe if we give him a little more responsibility, he'll take a hold. And what they do is put him in his position, and everybody suffers for it. Everybody suffers for it. I watch parents ruin their children who are disobedient kids, and they just keep giving and keep taking that kid and giving them more. And then they give them to the day, then they give them their car and everything else. When they've been just unfaithful with everything, responsibility you ever gave them. But they get to the place and not responsible and then turn around and reward them. See, I see people do that, say, well, you know, we gave the other kid a car with this one. If they ain't been faithful, I wouldn't give them that one just because I gave the other one. If the other one deserved the reward, give it to them. But if you treat them, you say both the same, well, you got a hell on your life. Live with it and don't call me to pray for you. Amen. Because you're the problem, not the kid. That's right. You've become the problem. You don't do that stuff. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. And see, faithfulness is a huge thing. Jesus said, if you're not faithful, in other words, God's not going to give you something. He said, who's going to give you your own? See, we need to know this, that you step into a place. You can step into a place, spirituality, where you step into your own. Most people never go there. That's when you become a laborer together with Him. The average Christian, God is their daddy and they're the baby. And they crawl on daddy's lap and suck your thumb and, oh God, do this for me in depth. But they don't step into the place where God gives them their own. And now they're in a place of authority. I remember when God started me to move me over to that area, it almost floored me because I had nobody up to that time had talked to me about this stuff. And I came along in this thing and there's a thing come up and I asked the Lord about a certain situation with a person. And I'd been praying about this. You know, I wanted to see the situation change around. And the Lord spoke to me and said, what do you want to do about it? And I thought, that just sort of stunned me, you know, because, you know, everybody, well, God's in control and you ask Him and He'll explain to you what He wants to do. And He knows. And He said to me, what do you want to do about it? And I fell silent. It's like, But what he was doing, see, I had learned to be faithful. He had talked to me personally a few times about my faithfulness and rewarding me for it. And then he said to me, what would you want to do about it? So I thought for a while. And I said, well, Lord, this is the way I see this situation. And I said, certain thing I want done. He said to me, that's good. It'll be done that way. Within 3 days, it happened. Exactly everything like I said I wanted. Man, I walked around for months trying to get my head around that one. Because it wasn't like people had told me. It wasn't like people had talked and said about God. And then I found as time went on, he would ask me about what I wanted to do with situations. I would pray and spend time, and he would talk to me about things and situations. He was interested in my opinion on it. You see, we come to a place of relationship, and we should arrive there at that place. And that comes on the things of being faithful with what's little. You should expect. You see, I didn't know about believing to go to those places. Nobody ever told me you could believe to go to those places. And then, you know, I went to Raymond, a Bible school, and we had one of the instructors there who said then the one time, he said, talked about the things. He said, we need to come to a place of relationship with God where we become workers together with him. He said, we're no longer little children. We're workers together with him. And I knew what they were talking about. And I said, yeah, people need to go there. And most Christians don't know anything about it. Most ministers can't send you there because they don't know about it. God is big God, and he just wants to run the show all by himself. That's not the way he runs. He wants people. Did you ever think about we have Elijah, and God said, you're only going to rain. At your voice, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. He didn't say it in my voice. He said, at your voice. See, we don't know about that kind of stuff. We don't know about coming to a place of spirituality where God puts in your hands the authority to run the stuff. God's not handing a loaded gun to the babies. He don't do that. There's a spiritual development and growth that leads. We look in the book of Revelation. There's two witnesses. And at their voice, they can either stop the rain, cause the rain. They can bring all kinds of things on the earth. It's at their voice. It isn't at God's voice. It's at their voice. We read that stuff and just go by. That, from the time I was a baby Christian, I used to read those things and think, man, there's stuff there about this. We sure ain't got today. We don't know what this stuff means. Nobody talks about what this stuff means. I mean, we can't even get prophets today to even prophesy what's true. They can't even bring it to pass. Say, hold it, something's wrong. Something's wrong when we got people that we can see in the Bible that God trusted to carry it. You want to understand this? This nation ain't changing till judgment is brought through the church. Did you hear me? Not through God, through the church. The church is God's vessel in the earth. God don't need the church if he's going to do it. He don't need you. You just dead and go home and be with Jesus. You might as well. I mean, if you're not here for nothing. See, that's what most Christians are. God's going to do all this stuff. No, he's not. It's what the church is going to stand up and do. Is going to determine. Don't be scared of judgment, folks. If no judgment doesn't come, there will be no justice. Righteousness nor justice will ever prevail without judgment. These scared to death preachers about judgment. Oh, don't talk about that. Don't go, oh man, in the church, the people, oh, judgment. If you're having a problem in your life domestically or something, what do? We go to court. We go to judgment to get justice. There is no such thing as a justice system without judgment. It does not exist. The majority of the church is a bunch of big babies today. The things they run and hide from are the things they need. Or the things we need. We need to come up where God can anoint us to carry out his plan, his purpose. We need judgment to bring justice into line. Things need to be dealt with. It's funny that people will put up with all kind of hurt and problems and everything, afraid that if judgment's going to make things worse. The whole point of judgment is to bring justice. That's the point. God doesn't have any other kind of judgment than judgment to bring justice. If he does, then he's the devil. Is he bringing judgment just to be miserable? That's not what judgment is. God wants to bring justice, and we need to understand that. We need to get over into rightful thinking. Come to this place where we arrive at understanding the authority God wants us to walk in. The place that we walk. We I remember Kenneth Hagin teaching us. Kenneth Hagin, when he put out his book on authority, when he put that book out, I remember Kenneth Hagin, I sat in classes and heard him say this. He said, on the areas of authority, he said, we only know a very little portion about this. He said, we're only just touching into this thing. And I realized now today when I sit and look at what I've learned, he's exactly right. The church almost knows nothing about it, the subject. Church knows, Christians know very little about it. We have had people and we've taught the things that revelation that he got on the subject, but I realize how little it was. He just introduced us to the fact that we had authority. But he never introduced us to the extent of authority. And the place of authority in other areas other than casting out devils. We didn't know much. We were told just a little. But you know what? That ain't his fault. That was our fault. We should have gone on and studied and tried to find out more. We didn't. We didn't bother. We just, what was easy for him to teach us, that's what we took and ran with. So I found over time God's been dealing with me, and I was really, that's one of the things with Ken Kasich we had in to minister is in areas because there was things he was speaking to that was really helpful for me to look at some certain things dealing with this subject. But we need to get a clear understanding. Now one of the things that we want to deal with is this, is when we talk about, in the areas of authority and things, we need to understand what we are discussing. In other words, when I was in Bible school, we had Cooper Beatty, who was one of the classes he taught was how to teach. And one of the things that was very helpful was this, and I found out people don't do it. We need to understand as Christians, we have a Christian vernacular that we talk. And you know what? Generally, people don't even know on earth at all what you're saying. Like you take out here today, you put up a sign that says, Jesus saves. You know what that means to most people? Nothing. They don't even know what that means. See, we look at Jesus saves. We have an idea of what we salvation. But I can go around the church world, and it's like, I taught not long ago concerning the words in the Bible concerning salvation and what they really mean. Most Christians don't even know what it means. Their little idea is getting born again, but the word of salvation used in Scripture entails healing, deliverance, and everything. It doesn't just mean to get born again, but today we don't even use it for that, for born again. We use it just forgiveness of sin. That's all we use it for. And people go and say, I believe I can get my sins forgiven and never even got born again, never became a child of God. So it's good that we understand terms that we're talking about. And that's what we were taught. Cooper taught us, he said, Always define the terms you're going to use, what you're talking. So when people, you talk to them, they know what you're talking about. That's important to do. You need to understand that talking to people. Did you ever talk to somebody and they're using terms and you sit there and look at them and say, what on earth are they? There's people can talk to me today and come up and they talk all this, new language of today and I ain't got a clue where they're coming from. I have no idea. And they're using words that are just completely different than what we use and what they meant. And they're there using them and talking away and going through their things and don't even realize they're not even communicating. People don't communicate today. Their communication is what satisfies them. Has nothing to do about the hearer. It don't have a thing to do with the hearer. It made me happy to hear my voice. I got to hear me talk. Wasn't that wonderful? But anyhow, We're talking about authority. Now, the word authority is this. Authority is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. Authority is also the right to act in a specific way delegated from one person or organization to another. It is also the official permission or sanction. So when we're talking about authority. Now, I want to say this because we want to look as we study. We're going to talk about it. We need to understand this. Our authority that we have in the kingdom of God is a delegated authority. Now, understand, Jesus earned authority. Well, what he did, he earned it. He earned authority. You didn't. You don't earn authority like he did. And so we need to grab a hold of it. The authority we get is by delegation from what he did. By faith in him, it is delegated to us. Now, to delegate is a person designated to act for or represent someone else. Now we would probably understand these more. It's just, well, like say if you're working, say where you're working at. Everybody is on a job somewhere. You have a delegated authority given to you on that job. In other words, there's certain functions or things that you do that you have been given authority to perform certain things on that job. That's delegated authority. In other words, whoever you're working for, they want certain things accomplished, so they delegate to you to do a certain portion of that work. Now, that is your authority is to operate in that sphere. If you go outside that and do things, you're actually not working in your delegated authority. You have crossed the lines of your authority. So you need to understand that. You stay within the bounds of authority. We need to understand when it's given to you, so everybody falls in, everybody has those things where they are. Now we have, like you say, like today we have, if you would look, say like, where we have like a police officer is given a certain authority and he has a certain amount of force that he can use and different things. Is today, we need to understand this is one of the great failures of our system today. Because our system will turn around and give a person a job like a policeman, and then he does it, they give him a certain amount of delegated authority, but if he carries out authority, they'll turn on him. Well, see, you might find that in business sometimes too. They give you certain authority. See, I learned to deal with that when I was in management. This is what they'd come and say, you know, I'd be walking within my authority to deal with and make certain decisions. It was within my authority. And then you'd get somebody over, you'd want to step in and do it. I'd say, you want to step in and do it, you're going to run the whole thing. What do you want to do? Say, you tell me, I tell them, you ain't playing that game with me. That you sit around on the sidelines, tell me in charge to run the thing, but you're going to second guess me all the time? Say, that baby's yours, I'll go home. You always find them. They want to go. See, they want the response. They want the authority with no responsibility. So you're responsible for my bad decisions. And I always tell them, no, I won't. You're going to call the shots. You live with them. Not me. I'll live with the shots that I call. I'll live with them. If I miss it, well, that's my fault. But it ain't my fault when you made the decision. You see, we people all this. People today want freedom to make their own decisions, and then they want somebody else to fix it when it don't do it. The government ought to do this for me. I'm a bum, don't work half the time, don't do so. But you ought to feed me. You ought to do these things. I don't do this. I turn around and I do this stuff, mess my life up. Somebody else ought to fix it. See, I want this freedom. And you know what's bad about it? We got a society that's bought that ticket. It's impossible to change things. You can't. It will never change. You can't keep doing evil and ever have it turn out good. It's never going to work. Never happens. You can't have people go along. I want to make my decision. I always tell people, if you want me involved in it, now I make the decisions. If you want to still make your decisions, then you live. You find your own lunch. I ain't giving you one. You're either going to get under my authority. Someplace you have to step under an authority. Somebody needs to govern over you. See, I found this out. I needed Jesus to govern over me. This is one of the things that most Christians have never made Jesus Lord. He has never become the Lord of their life. It's only on convenience when I need something. I need money, I need this, then I'll let you lord over me. If I need something, oh, now you're Lord today. But other than that, you know, keep your distance. I want my life. See, we wonder why sometimes Jesus stands back, and we wonder why. You need to understand, we reap things as how we sow. You know, our slow response to God's will, you will find this in your life, that God will be slow in His response when you need Him, because you're going to reap what you sow. See, that's a spiritual law, unchangeable. If you're slow on responding when God tells you, God will be slow in His response to you when you need help. Oh yeah. See, we have all this stuff. We don't relate the Bible and how it works and that stuff. We need to understand these things of why things work out sometimes the way that they do. It costs people when people don't respond. See, and there's things that I learned. Especially, I learned this over the areas of money because I found this out. I remember Kenneth Hagin teaching on the areas of money. He said, you'll run into more troubles in the areas concerning believing God for money than he said healing and that stuff, because he said healing and stuff is between you and God. But he said money is between you and other people around you and in the earth. See, God don't send no money from heaven. There's no money up in heaven. God don't print it. Lord told Kenneth Hagin, he said, if we printed money up here, he said, be counterfeit. We're not counterfeiters. God has to move through people to move money to you and things to you. That's how He has to do them. So I learned this principle. How to get things to move to me quicker. Be quick when God asks me to move something to somebody. That's the people. See, God's trying to get somebody to give money to somebody, and they wait and wait and wait. They him. I've had people sometimes as God. I had one instance where a guy waited a year and even admitted to me. He was supposed to buy me a car. And I knew the year before I should have had that car come in, and I knew it didn't. But I just, you know, God did my spirit, just stand steady. So I stayed steady. That car showed up, but the guy told me, God told me to buy this last year, but I didn't do it. He said, I didn't do it. See, he was disobedient for a year. Well, see, I know that it cost him. It'll cost you. See, because you're going to ask for something, and God will wait for a year to go tell somebody to bring it to you. Oh yeah! You reap what you sow. Because, you know, Wanda and I talking about this past year, giving money. I mean, we gave a bunch of money away this past year. Anyhow, but I said to the Lord, why do you always ask me to give? Because He said, I ask you, you'll give it. See, I've learned this a long time. It's just like Abraham. Abraham was not the first guy God asked to go to the land. We have in the Bible the people who responded. We always think that, you know, God just chose somebody and he found somebody and asked him, and they just jumped up and went and did it. God is constantly asking people to do things that they are not doing till He will get somebody to respond to that and do it. And if He wants to get something done, He has people that He knows will do what He wants, and He will go get them. See, people wonder why sometimes people seem to be so blessed while things work for them and that stuff. That's a lot to do with it. Folks, this cuts into the areas of authority. People wonder why things, authority, to work, to do things, these cut into areas. People need to understand these things. We need to get a hold of this. We're in a very childish Christianity. Faith in things is taught on a very low level, like we just believe in God and stuff. And people are standing out here and things ain't working. And preachers just keep putting more money in the offering. Just keep putting more money in the offering. That ain't going to solve the problem. Sometimes, you know, even the standpoint, it's easy just to give money. Actually, to go do something's a little harder. Oh. Americans find it's easy to write a check. But I'm going to tell you what, that ain't prosperity just writing checks. Now, you won't get prosperity preachers to tell you that. But it isn't. People need to understand these things. See, there's a lot of things that get involved in it. You know, it's about obedience in all things. Not obedience on some things. Learning to be obedient. I'll tell you what, sometimes certain obediences are hard to do. There's certain things that are easier for me to do today than they were years ago. I'll tell you what, I remember when God would ask us to give money, and I'm going to tell you what, we were trying to figure out how we were going to make it next week. And God said, why don't you give that money away? And we had to learn to say, okay, I know God's talking to me. I'm going to obey that. I'm just going to obey that. And every time God came through, I'm just going to obey that. God came through. You need to understand this. Your faith in God is limited to your knowledge of His performance. Did you hear that? See, my confidence is in God is the same way. His faithfulness to me, I can trust Him because I have to know His performance too. So you need to experience God's performance. You need to experience it. When you're sitting around and believing and nothing ever happens, you need to stop and say, hold it, God can't be holding out. What do I need to do so God can perform? Because the more He is able to perform for me, the more confidence I can have in Him. To know Him and to know how He works. You need to know that. See, God isn't asking you to have faith. When I, faith, and He ain't proved a thing. When I first started off as a Christian, I was amazed because when I look back today, I think, when I talk about little faith, I mean, things that God did for me, when I look back, I wouldn't call my faith little, it was minute. It was minute. But because I'm just acting on what, I'm making an action toward what I do know about God, God would do something for me. And I would like, wow. I learned to trust Him through those things, and I learned to rise to a higher level of faith. If your faith isn't rising to a higher level, you haven't experienced God. You can't experience God and not go to a higher belief in Him. The more you experience Him, the more you know. See, God isn't just words in a book. He's a God to be experienced. See, people talk about, and I have to laugh when people generally use the term, we need a personal relationship with Jesus. And they ain't got a clue at all what they're saying when they put those words out of their mouth. Because God hasn't done any real stuff for them. They've never seen nothing. They haven't had any personal relationship with God is the fact is of an interaction. You see His performance. A person is no one. Wanda and I, nobody knows me better than Wanda does. She knows my performance on all the things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Why? By experience. There's things you can't know about me because you've never experienced me in things. But she has. She knows how far she can trust me in the good and the bad and the ugly. You don't. Majority of you only know me much, very much with the anointing on me. And the anointing is sure better than I am. Believe me. Sometimes the anointing comes off of me and I think, dear God, now I got to put up with me the rest of the week. It's good preaching, folks. Hallelujah. But see, you need to know this. This is why you need to come to place. This is why dealing in the areas of authority, you need to understand the places that we can walk in. Because these places let us know more about God, more of a personal with God, to really know His character. You can read things about God's character in a word, but there's another thing to experience it. You know, I can read all I want about George Washington, but I can never experience him. Never. All I can know is words on a page, what people said about him. God, you can experience him. You can experience God. He's alive. He'll manifest himself to you. And that's what you want. You want God to manifest. See, people talk about seeking God. They talk about, getting the presence of God. And all those things that they say. But when it comes down to it, what it's all about is this. Is not seeking God or the presence of God. God is already present in you, and He's present all around us all the time. What it is coming in contact with that presence and getting it to manifest. That's what we want. We want the presence to manifest. To know His, to have His presence, I don't have to think twice. I don't have to pray or fast 2 seconds for the presence of God. He's already living in me, and He's around me. He's right here. I never have to pray and fast 2 seconds or do any special praying to get the healing power of God. God is here. His power to heal is here. It's right here, right now. It's always around us. It's all the time. It's here. God don't come and healing someplace else and he has to call it in. None of that. Answered prayer is not about getting God reaching something and we need to understand. It's what God is available around us all the time. It's coming in contact with him and letting his presence manifest. And there's only one way you can do that, through faith. The only way you can do it. The only thing that pleases him. It's faith. Faith will cause God's presence to whatever you're believing for to come into manifestation. And see, we need to understand this about when we're going to, you know, go into the areas dealing with authorities. We want to look back. I'm going to look back at Genesis because we want to talk God and creation. We want to, there's things I've taught on this before and you'll hear again, but there's things we need to know because of authority. In Genesis, the first chapter, is for us to get an idea about God in our creation is what we are. We have a lot today that's pushed out here. We have big name ministers that used to preach, you know, born again and things like that today who actually believe in evolution. They believe in evolution and they talk evolution. And, is number one is we need to get ourselves in clarity. You'll never understand if we were evoluted, then there is no authority that man has with God because a monkey or a rat would have the same authority because we all came from the same, wouldn't we? If that's what it was, it wouldn't be. Why would man also have some place of authority? You see, when people believe those things, the whole Bible, the principle of the whole Bible, the kingdom becomes a lie. Everything does. And see, they become a lie. They're liars, whether they like it or not. I ain't saying to be mean to them. But it's what they are. They're liars. They're preaching lies. They're telling people things that are lies, that are destroying the faith of people. You can't have faith in God and believe you were a slug that crawled out some prayer or something. That, because you're in there. The Bible teaches completely contrary concerning what the human has. Now, in Genesis, the first chapter, we're going to start just reading verse 26, says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Do you know that? We have authority over creeps. There we go. You heard it. There we go. You got authority over creeps. There's a lot of them out here. So, anyhow, it says, so God created man his image. His own image, in the image of God, he created him, man, male and female, he created them. It says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, we want to talk about these things. One of the things is creation. We've talked about this before, but when man was created by God, he was not spoken into existence. Every other animal, everything else in the earth, God said words and they showed up. But man wasn't like that. Why? Because man became what God is. Oh, now that'll make a lot of religious people nervous. But if you're not what God is, if you're not, then the Bible's a lie. You have to be what God is. You have to be. God made man. God made a body out of dirt. He took dirt and formed a body. The body is not you. Your body is not you. Your body, get over it. See, this is one of the things that we deal with. We have a terrible time with this, and this is one of the problems. The outward is the most important thing today. That is the big thing, the outward. Faith is about the unseen. Your success is not built on your seen. It's built on your unseen. Faith operates out of the unseen man. It don't operate out of the seen man. Faith is about believing something in your heart. The unseen, that's the unseen man. Peter wrote about the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man. There's a hidden man that you can't see. See, the real me is a hidden man. You can't see. You see this outer man. This isn't a real man. This outside guy's decaying. He just got his 72nd birthday. My inner man's renewed day by day. He has never aged a second from the new birth. He's not aged a second. He's actually being renewed day by day. He's eternal. He's just like God. He's eternally alive to God. You see, when God created man, He breathed in man the breath of life. It says, He breathed. You look at that word as spirit, that same word, the Hebrew word for spirit. It says breath. He breathed spirit. He breathed His spirit into man. Man is made of His God's spirit. So man has to be like God. Oh, the nervous preachers out here. Oh, they hear this. I'll get things written. They'll go online, they'll read about that, and then they'll say, man, this guy, I'm going to tell you, it's just like from a natural standpoint, the seed of man put in a woman and produces a child that's after them. It's like them. God could not produce something else out of His own spirit. See, the church has lived on a low level because we have been taught to believe on a low level. Man was made of the same spirit that God. Just think about it. Adam and Eve were in that garden, were of the same spirit of God Himself. That's what they were. If man was just like the rest of the animals, God could have destroyed the planet and just forgot about the whole thing. Go start over again. But He didn't. God couldn't destroy what He was. Never had an intent to. He had an intent to save what is His. See, it's within the natural, it should be. Today it's sin perverts so much, but in the natural inclination, a person should always be, you know, do whatever they can to save their offspring. It's just natural. I mean, you go in animals, it's natural. So we need to understand, it was completely natural that God would want to save humanity. That's natural. He had been a lousy dad. He had been a lousy father if He hadn't wanted to save. That's why people say, well, when God created man and man sinned, then God made the plan to send Jesus. That's totally unscriptural. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. The Bible says that God's plan to send Jesus before the foundation of the world. See, people teach things and we buy these things in here and they get dumped on us and dumped on us and dumped on us and they minimize the glory that's in us. It minimizes the glory of God of who man is. Today we have minimized the glory that's in man that the church is in itself is generally very weak. It's very weak to stand before God. We don't know if God wants to do something for us or not. Why would Jesus have made statements, you know, all things are possible to him that believeth, if God had some kind of things that he didn't want to cross certain barriers to do stuff for us? why would these kind of statements, I mean, they're totally, you can ask the Father anything in my name and he'll do it for you. Like God, and then some preacher stands out, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. He says, man, where does he, you know, he's got to be a drug user to come up with an idea like that. There's no scriptural place to find any such statement. Jesus says you can ask the Father anything, he'll do it to you. The preacher says, nope, he won't. And I'm preaching the gospel. We have contradicted Jesus. These things need to be done. Our faith won't go beyond this. We got to throw contradictions out. We got to throw this stuff out. Be able to look at it and say, you know, you may mean well as a preacher, but you're a nut. You can't talk against Jesus and get anywhere. Number one, I've learned this over the years. You don't speak against Jesus and get the Holy Spirit and you to be any kind of buddies. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, He would forgive you of anything, but He said the Holy Spirit won't. You don't downplay Jesus, and I'm going to tell you, you ain't making it as a Christian if the Holy Ghost shuts down on you. He's the only connection you got. I'll tell you, the church has defamed Jesus. We've taken the glorious things that He said And we preached and preached to poor people who have sat there and things. And they don't know if God wants to do something for them or not. They're not sure. They're just, let's hang on here until Jesus gets back. And maybe someday, you know, he'll come and haul us out of here because it's just so hard here and it's just so tough here. It's just so bad. What happened to the glorious church? What happened to the gates of hell can't prevail against the church? Well, no, that don't exist. Gates of hell are winning and we're just going under. And my God, it's so tough. We've been made like God, and we've been taught you ain't been made like God. No, you haven't. They were nice words in the book to make you feel good, but they're not true. They're cute sayings, and you're allowed to say them, but you're not allowed to believe them. No, 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 don't believe that stuff. You know, don't believe that guy that tells you that's true. That what God said, it's the way he's done it. Hallelujah. I want you to see this, but God created this man and he says to this man, I'm going to give you dominion over the fish of the sea. He tells he's going to give this man dominion over the whole earth. He said this dominion. Now this dominion is this. The dominion means the power to rule, control a country, a region, etc. The land that a ruler or government controls. It's a law or a supreme authority. So what God did was gave this man, he said to man has supreme authority over the earth. You're going to run this thing. This is yours. This is yours. So God gave man dominion. Now, would you, if man was an evoluted animal, you think God would have gave dominion to an animal? God gave, if we want to pass inheritance or anything on, what do it? We pass it on to our offspring, don't we? Well, that's nuts today, they do them. There's people, I saw the guy who gave his dog his inheritance, and his dog, I forget how, this guy's worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and he gave it to his dog. So, that dog has to be taken care of royally. And so, you know, there's lawyers and stuff going to make tons of money out of that, taking care of that dog. I'll guarantee you that. Because, you know, lawyers never walked away without a pocket full of money. That never happened. So they're going to make, but give it. But we generally do. We give it to our inheritance goes down the line to somebody. So God wasn't going to give his inheritance or give his dominion over to a chicken. He wasn't going to do that. He gave it to man. Why? The ones that are like him. Ones who could actually do it. They could. Man had, understand this. Adam had been given, he hadn't been just given to God that God gave him dominion. It would have been unfair if God had not given him ability to be able to do it. God created him to be like him. Adam had the ability to rule and reign. He had the ability. Now, whether Adam used it or not was up to Adam, because Adam's given the dominion, not God. God no longer has dominion in the earth. God gave it to man. Isn't it interesting? Jesus, as a man, came down here and gained dominion back over Satan's kingdom. He went to heaven, and the scripture says this. He said to the disciples, you go into all the world to preach the gospels. He told them, you guys get out there and preach. He said, I've been given, he said, I have all authority in heaven and earth. He said, now you guys go down there. He goes, look, I have all authority in heaven and earth. And the first thing he did, he delegated the authority of earth to man. Said, here, my authority in the earth, go use it. He immediately, we see, if we go over to the book of Mark in the 16th chapter, these signs shall follow them that believe. You cast out devils. He gave us dominion. We have dominion over the devil. We have authority over him. See, immediately he started doing it. He delegated to man. He gave it to man. Why? Because he was called the second Adam. It was to bring order back to what was lost with Adam. That was the purpose, is to bring that order back. Jesus cannot run anything in the earth except through the church. We are the one. Jesus said this, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. He said that's the keys of the kingdom. Do you know, that isn't the day that they started, the day that he said that. That's always been in operation. Whatever man decided to do here was what was going to happen. whether man followed God or didn't follow God. Whatever goes on, man was going to make happen. See, we act like those things just started with the kingdom. The kingdom's rules have never changed. They've never changed. There wasn't new ones added. How the kingdom operates. Jesus Christ, God used the rules of the kingdom to defeat Satan. God's not a lawbreaker. When Adam did what he did, given Satan the right to come and operate in this earth, when he did that, Adam had every right to do that because the dominion was in Adam's hands. It wasn't God's. He had every right to. So you don't ever believe those people say, well, you can't misuse God's power. Adam's proof of that. That's the biggest bunch of junk you ever heard in your life. God has given you. God's given us the right to cast out devil. And you know what this is? I want to tell you, Jesus Christ will never cast out a devil ever again in this earth. If you don't throw him out, you can pray to him night and day. You can fast till you die and you'll just meet Jesus. And he's going to say, what on earth were you doing? You cast him out. I don't. Adam in the garden could have cast him out and didn't. Eve could have cast him out and didn't. Eve had dominion over the talking snake, but what she did, she yielded to it. She had dominion instead of using her dominion. She threw it out and yielded to what she had dominion over. And instead of making the worker do their job, she listened to the worker and did what he wanted to do. Boy, there's people today. But I want you to see this. He talks about dominion, but there's an interesting word that he uses is more important than dominion. Because he tells Adam what his dominion is for. Adam and Eve, he said they were supposed to subdue the earth. Subdue means to get control of. Now, they're getting control of, they say, that could be something, a violent or a dangerous person. He says, by using force to conquer and to bring into subjection, to bring under control, especially by an exertion of the will. It's another thing about interesting because of this. What is, when we talk about subdue, one of the things of subdue is this, is to bring land under cultivation. To subdue ground is to bring it under cultivation. And this is interesting because, see, man had a job. If you look over in Genesis, the second chapter, I think it's verse 7, where God said, talked about when he created things, and he said, and there was no man to till the soil. Man was called to till the soil. Man wasn't called to sit under a palm tree and have angels stand around with palm branches and you know, fan them and stuff. Man was called to till the soil. Man was called to work. Oh, there's a four-letter word. That's a four-letter word called work. But God called man to work in here. Man had a job in this earth, but his job, he was supposed to use his dominion to force the will of things in the earth. See, we don't take, today the human submits to the animal. The animals are more important. Oh, all the cars that have the stickers on them that their dogs and cats are their kids. Oh, I've had Christians get mad at me because you can't say those kind of things because I'm not loving. And what happens is they ain't Christians. They're helping to bring hell into the earth. Equating animals with humans. We need to deal with this stuff. You know what? Christians in America would have hated Jesus in those days. Because see, their dogs weren't their kids, definitely. Dogs were considered one of the lowest lives you could ever have in their societies. Jesus referring to the Syrophoenician woman he said, you know, we don't give the bread, the children's bread to dogs. I mean, that was the lowest thing you could have said to a person. Oh, my nose. Today, the lowest thing in America, he said, give the bread to humans. That would have been the lowest thing you could have ever said. Give it to a kid, we could have aborted, you know. We wouldn't have to waste the bread on them. See, we don't understand this. People don't understand. God said what we were supposed to have dominion over, and that is not what we have. We have all of our ideas of what it is to rule and reign and what it is. See, this is one of the things is why is dealing with that. The earth in itself. Israel, you follow scripture. See, it's people don't read the old, they read the stories of the Old Testament and they mean nothing to them. See, in the Old Testament, God told Israel in the land, if you go in the land and you sin, the land will vomit you out. The land ain't gonna like you. See, we're in that predicament today. They could spend $500 trillion trying to save the earth. You ain't gonna do it. The earth is trying to vomit the people off of it. The sin in the earth, the land. What does it say in Romans, New Testament? The earth is quaking, it's shaking, waiting for the redemption of sons of men. It is tired of this junk on the earth. It's tired of the stickers on the car that my cat's my favorite, you know. It's sick of this stuff. It's sick of these things. See, we need to get ourselves in line. When the world, see, Jesus died for people. That's who Jesus died for. He died for people. But people aren't the number one agenda, even to the church world today. It's not the number one agenda. Jesus died for everybody. And when we look at concerning people, our hearts should go out concerning people. It should be the most important thing. And we've lost those things. You see, God came along. God had a plan. And God has a plan to carry things out. We don't have the authority that we decide we're going to have. We have the authority which God gave. God will back up the authority He's given, not the authority you want. He backs up the authority that He's given. That's where He's going to back up. That's what He's going to do. And so He has told us in this earth concerning the ground and that kind of things. God said to man, in the earth, what you do, you fill it. Well, today I hear Christians say, boy, if we don't have any kids today, boy, the way things are and that stuff. Why, are you going to disobey God? We're not going to have kids. We're not going to fill the earth anymore. I got a thing from a prophecy. I get this really. I found out the city it came from. It came out up in Oregon, so I knew it was a bunch of nuts and flakes to begin with. It's a prophecy was sent to me, but they wouldn't put a return address on because, and I knew it right away. Somebody gives a prophecy and won't put their name on, they don't want their prophecy judged. Well, the prophecy was a bunch of devil junk. And it was based on the thing, God's saying there's too many people in the earth. We got to start, you know, doing something to get the population down. Well, abortion's working at that. In other words, the person has to think abortion's all right. And this is supposed to be a prophecy from some prophet. Gave this prophecy that there's too many people. We need to get down because we won't be able to feed everybody. I'm going to tell you what. You can have 7 people that live in sin and you won't have enough lunch. I get this all the time, phone calls from people who are living hellish lives wanting us to feed them because they don't work to feed themselves. Adults. You know, I got a call, it was a man and a woman. Neither of them working. They're just having a hard time finding a job. Where on earth they get that, finding a job? My God, a job will run over you if you stay in the street long enough. Dear God. And they don't have jobs and they want me to feed them. And I say, no, this, you know. I say, I'm a Christian. You see, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible. You called a church. And God has something to say in a church. And He said, you don't work, you don't eat. I said, God said that. And I said, you called to the place that believes God said that. Now there's one reason. If you're not working, it's either because you're a druggie and you ain't working. You just, you know, lay around all day, whatever you're going to do. You have a reason that you're not, you and your so-called girlfriend ain't doing to work. And I said, unless you're going to change that, there's no point in me feeding you. There's absolutely zero point because you're going to come back for lunch again. And you're going to come back for lunch again. We'll just keep going. If you're not willing to make a change immediately, right now, Well, I'm not ready. See, I've had this over the years. People say, I can't find a job. I say, I'll be right down to pick you up and I'll get you out and we'll go out and get a job. I have never had one person ever take me up on it. Never one person. Never had one time. Always throw those things right out there. You want a job? Come on. I'll get you a job. I'll be down to pick you up. We'll go get a job. Well, I can't right now. I said, well, then you can miss lunch. Goodbye. We ain't talking beyond this. But now we have the churches. Oh, you could just come in. Anybody can get, if they have food, they'll just give it to you. They're just, food just helps send people to hell. We're going to send them all to hell with full bellies because we're so darn loving. You can't change society if you won't demand. You see, there's one thing, see, I learned about faith from this, and you need to understand as a Christian. You heard me say this so many times. God told me when I got to be a Christian, He was going to teach me how to operate by faith by my military training. You see, you know how the military trains you? Here's how they train you. You no longer have a voice. You no longer, what you like or want don't matter to us. You're going to do what we want you to do. This is what we want. And this is what they train you to obey. If you can't take these people and take them and they will not submit to an authority over them to make decisions, you're wasting your time. Look, I worked at Lebanon County Prison. And while I worked there, every person that went to one of these so-called drug treatment programs and all this kind of stuff ended up coming right back to prison. Every one of them. While I was there, not one person ever stayed out of jail. Why? They don't work because nobody can have authority over them. The government won't allow you to. No, they can still say and do anything they want. You're not allowed to do anything in the prisons that way. You can't make anybody work. You can't make anybody do. They don't want to do anything. You can't change people. They got to be put under a system. Either they're going to make a change or they get put under responsibility of another person who can dictate to their life to teach them responsibility. If you're a person that don't like and you're not very good at disciplining yourself, you're never going to be much of a faith person. If you have a hard time being disciplined enough to, you know, it's like with people getting up for work and doing things, you got to get yourself disciplined enough that you're going to do that. You're just going to do it. If you don't, you need somebody that shoves your butt out of bed in the morning. And I mean shoves it out. They aren't nice and call you nicely. They reach over and drag you and throw you out of bed till you get tired of getting thrown out of bed till you get up. See, that's what they do in the military. They would do that till you find, hey, I'm going to do what's right. I'm causing myself. See, you needed that. Because see, when you get in a war situation, you can't be a stupid person that has your own opinion. You'll be dead. The enemy will kill you and you'll get other people killed because you're stupid. You need disciplined people. You need people who will act and do the right thing no matter what happens or what goes. That's what faith's about. Because your faith, you're going to run into problems that are hard and tough. And if you can't just stand up and say, look, I'm going through, I ain't putting up with this anymore. We're going through this thing and get yourself set. Forget the faith thing. It ain't going to work. You're always going to just have a little bit of faith over here on some things and now and then. But it's getting yourself to the point, this is what, I have a thing I got to do and I'm going to do this. Say, I got to wake up in the morning. I'll tell you, there's times I'd have to wake up in the morning. First thing I'd do is I'd get up. I'd make a confession. And I'll tell you what, that confession didn't seem very real to me at the time. But I'd say it. There are certain things I'd say. I'd say things about I was going to like and I was going to do because they were the thing to do. And I'd say those things. Praise God. I remember getting up, you know, being stuff, and my body's attacked. And I get up and say, thanking God I'm healed. And the whole time I'll tell you, I ain't having nothing but pain and problem. Thanking God that I'm healed. Glory to God. And I'm going to work. Hallelujah. And my body said, you idiot, you need to lay down somewhere. You need to quit. That's what you need to do. And you need to do those things. But see, in a war, let me tell you what, in a war, if you're just going to get hurt a little bit and you're going to go lay down, just forget it. They'll probably put a tourniquet around your neck and get rid of you. They don't need you. See, you can't, you have to have fortitude in the troubled times. That's what faith's about. Faith and patience, man, I'll tell you what. Patience in the hard time. Your patience ever ain't got pushed till you had to be patient and everything's coming down around you. You don't even know what patience is till you've done that. But see, it's one thing. See, people don't know about discipline. We want to have people with great faith who have never gone through any great things. They've never gone through any great tests or trials. They refuse to go there. It's easier to do stuff in the natural. It's easy to just go, whatever. Take whatever you get. It takes something. When I sit down and I read after people and that stuff, and minister things that people went through in their life, it's like, oh my God. When I look sometimes at people, I think, man, I thought certain things I went through are tough, and I see what they went through, and it's like, oh my God, they're just worse. I'm glad I didn't have theirs. I'll tell you what, I've seen sinners go through things 100 times worse than Christians do with less complaining than Christians. You see, we're tied to this place of authority. You know what? Battles aren't easy. The Bible calls it a good fight of faith, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a fight. You determine whether it's good or not. You'll decide whether it's good. You can have a good fight if you want to. See, the good. I know I'm going to win, but sometimes it ain't fun going 12 rounds. Have you ever known that? You got to stay in the ring for 12 rounds. You're going to get a hit a few times. And if you don't like getting hit, stay out of the ring and quit acting like you're playing the faith game. You step in the faith game, you're going to get punched. Just as sure as the sun's coming up in the morning. You're going to step out there with the best confession, and then you're going to find your butt on the floor. And then you're going to go back for another round. Well, I'll get him this time. Faith and patience. You just don't get weary in well-doing. See, we always thought that was just sort of cute little statements. They're not cute statements. There's nothing cute about it. This is about a fight because you're going to want to get weary. You're going to want to quit. Faith's going to want to go lay down. Your faith's going to say, gee, let's make up another plan here. Why don't we do something else? Yeah, we'll do plan B. Why don't you make a plan B, and we'll fake to people like we're believing God, okay? We'll just tell them at church we're still trusting the Lord. And we'll keep faking it. Oh, you might as well laugh at yourself. See, I can tell you, I've been through the battles. I've been through them. I've been knocked down. I've been pushed around already. But I learned. You just keep fighting. You just stand up. See, stubbornness is good if it's used in the right way. There's nothing wrong. People say, oh man, that guy's stubborn. Boy, they're right. Thank God I am. Because if you ain't stubborn, you'll never be a faith person. I mean, stubborn can be used as stupidity. But I'm going to tell you what, if you learn to be stubborn and set it right. See, I'm thankful because, see, I was raised in a family with a stubborn mom and dad. They were people about doing certain, you did certain things right. And they would not accept it any other way. Thank God for people like that. They put a fortitude in you. They raised you in a manner that this is what you are. It's like the Lord told me this back when after I first got saved, after some time of watching Christians come in the kingdom, and they sort of having really liking this stuff for a short period of time. They didn't have much root in themselves. And after a while, they aren't following God anymore, and they're more back over into the world like they were before. And I asked the Lord, what's going on? Why am I so into this thing? I'm going after God. I still want this thing. I said, what's wrong? He said, a lot of them have come out of weak-willed families, and they've been raised, and their parents never stood for anything, never did, and they've been trained. And he said, unless they get themselves to start training themselves, and they allow themselves to get themselves, he said, they won't stand. Come out of families that won't stand. We have a lot of that today. Today, most parents won't stand. They won't stand. You know, they don't want things in their family. I don't want my kids to go to school and they think that they're weird at all because they don't go along with everybody else. I want my kids to be, you know, they won't stand. See, I was one of the, we were a weird family at school because we weren't allowed to do all the stuff the other kids could do. So we were weirdos. See, when I was a kid, I thought my parents were really tough on us. And I'll tell you what, I look back today and say, thank God I had parents. Thank God I had parents that knew how to say no. And what they believed with God, they stuck with it. The kids, I can just tell you this, We didn't, my cuss kids, we didn't run the family. That was for sure. We didn't run the family. We didn't do that. If you said something and they said shut up, you knew to shut up, because if you didn't, the next place you'd find yourself was in another county where they done knocked you. You didn't say things today the kids say to their parents and speak back to them. You did not do things, man. You didn't say mom and dad. You didn't say no. That was worse than the F word. Surely enough, fire's coming out of heaven. But I want to tell you this, though. My parents, by the time I reached 10 years old, I could handle as much responsibility better than probably most 50-year-old people can do today. My parents could trust us with stuff. They could trust us with things. They could trust us with responsibility. I went into service 17 years old when I went to the Army. Knew when I'd be end up heading in Vietnam. Knew it. 17 years. I went in 17 years old. I didn't have any trouble in the service. The Army was easy to me. Because there's drill sergeants never met mom. They never met little Delia Gibson. My God, she would have wore them out. But my mama, she loved us, and she was never mean to us. But you did what was right, and you walked in what was right. And if you didn't, she'd get a hold of you, and then you did what was right. But we were trained in those things. And when I never had any trouble in the service obeying orders and doing things. Never had a bit of trouble with that. Well, it was just natural to us. Somebody was in charge, and that's who you listen to, the person in charge. If you can't listen to the people that you can see in charge of you in the earth, you will not listen to the God you can't see. Scriptural fact. The mammon. You can't have faith with mammon. You ain't faithful with somebody else's. Who's going to give you your own? See, we deal in the areas of authority. Look, our success in Christianity is founded in authority. That's our success. That's our success. I mean, we got to get that into ourselves. See, the biggest thing is you know, we could go over in the teaching, I don't know if the Lord will lead you, is being led by the Spirit. See, it's number one. This area is of authority. You got to learn to be led by the Spirit. You got to be able to hear God. God's in charge. See, I have to decide whether I'm going to be in charge, whether I'm going to make the decisions in my life, or I'm going to let God make decisions in my life. Whether what authority I'm going to opt in, I'm going to stay just in the areas He gives to me. Or whether I'm going to pick my own places where I want authority. What I want to do. I have to decide those things. So it is, you aren't going to ever be a success if you can't follow the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's the one that takes what belongs to Jesus and shows it to you. You'll never know what Jesus wants without the Holy Ghost. You can't know. It's an impossibility. You can't. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to you. I can't sit down and read the scriptures and get understanding without the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Spirit's not revealing, I'm going to be telling people what I think the Word says. Oh, Lord, haven't we all done that one time or another? Did you ever say people say you thought certain things and after a while you found out and you got a revelation thing? Oh, my God, what was I saying? I thought it was saying that, but it wasn't saying that at all. Wasn't teaching that at all. See, with the Holy Spirit, see, this is what you want. You want to come to that place where we walk in this place. This authority, it blows my mind that God wants man to dominate and rule in this earth. He wants man into the place where He can hand us this thing and says, go get him, tiger. This is yours. Go run it. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Let's stop and think about just in that scriptures alone. Who can we complain to about what's going on in our nation? Who has the authority to whatever is bound here that heaven would get bound or whoever's loosed? If we don't like the way things turn out, it's what the church has been binding and loosing, what we've been allowing to happen or not allowed to happen. The church has not allowed God to move. We've made our own decisions on our own things of what we think. We followed political paths instead of spiritual paths. We thought getting a certain person was president was better than God. Got so bad, you know, they're out there prophesying, everybody believing something's going to go the certain way, and God's in another camp. God's headed another direction. And we have all these voices saying, God's saying this, God's saying this, God's saying this. How can men, I heard so many men say this about they had visions, they had dreams. Jesus appeared to them and told them that Trump was going to be president. People stood on TV and only saying this stuff. Saying the words, God said, I had a vision, I had a dream. Well, I mean, I'm going to just tell you this, is I've been listening to this and see, I've been always cautious in this area. Because Kenneth Hagin, this is back in the 1980s, there was a real move of the Spirit going on back in the 80s, which thank God I was about to be a part of. There's a lot I learned about the move of the Spirit back in those days. A lot of things I learned about how God worked. But that thing was going on, and Kenneth Hagin made this statement, because you had a lot of prophecies and stuff going on back then, people saying thus and thus saith the Lord and all that. And Kenneth Hagin made this statement that startled me because, you know, I was just learning these things. And he said, many of the ministers that are going around operating under the so-called word of knowledge are operating under familiar spirits. And I stopped and like, oh my God. So I thought, there's things I need to learn spiritually. I need to understand. I need to be able to detect what spirit's operating. See, most people, everything's supernatural to the church. Most Christians jump on and think it's God. And many times, lots of times I learned this, it's not. People yield to different spirits. I've learned over time, and I've sat in meetings, and I've watched a minister. He gets up there. He's preaching under the anointing of God. He's ministering under the anointing of God. And then he'll turn around and yield over to a familiar spirit and start saying things. And I'm like, what? They don't even notice. They don't. But see, it's something. See, we're tied to the supernatural. And people just swallow it. It's something supernatural. So you need to understand this. You're not going to get off scot-free on this stuff because you have the Holy Spirit. God's going to expect you to know the Spirit too, not just Him. You accept wrong things because you don't know, you're going to get in trouble. See, I found it out. I thought, man, I better learn because I got to start to learn to know about this, the move of the Spirit and what's happening with what. I got to learn to know some things. I need to hear, be able to hear something. I got to know what spirit's in operation. I have to know that. And I've heard over the years, many times, many very reputable ministers say things like, you know, they're sitting in meetings and a guy gets up and starts operating. And he says, man, he's operating on familiar spirits. He's not even operating on it. He's not operating on the Holy Ghost. And people just buy it. People just buy it because they say it. People don't know us. I'm just going to tell you, anybody that's trying to prophesy money out of your pocket, it ain't God. Anybody. Which means there's a lot of guys out there that are, and they're operating under wrong spirits. Because they're always trying to prophesy out of your pocket into theirs. They're never trying to prophesy it into somebody else's pocket. Did you ever notice that? They're never, you need to give this other preacher some money. It's always prophesying it into their pocket. I've learned that from Kenneth Hagin, a young Christian, and I learned to sort of follow that. Because he said, you always beware when somebody comes along and prophesies, try to prophesy money out of your pocket. He said, that ain't God. Well, when he said that, I didn't know if it was or not. I just take it what he said. But I learned to know God over time, and He ain't like that. See, the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's a very dangerous thing when people start liking it a lot. It's the most dangerous thing you can run into. Because I'll guarantee you, you'll begin to do a lot more evil stuff once you go to the love and money stuff. It's the root of all evil. It's the root of all evil. It will lead to worse and worse and worse and worse. That's why you don't want to... I've always said, if your spirituality don't grow as fast as your bank account, you'll follow the money. That's one thing, is I was always slow in the area of money. I pushing anything about money. Because I didn't want to get over that. I've watched too much. I watched too much of ministers who get out and are doing wrong. And if you say anything about it, people get mad. It's my favorite minister and we don't like him. I don't care. I learned to be cautious to where you get to the point where money don't drive you. Where I can get money and I know how to get money, but I don't let money drive me. You got to watch it. Wealth and stuff and having things can be a very difficult thing. Can have a lot of say in your life. I had to get to the point and found myself, you know, there's certain things you just get liking so much. You just like having. But after a while, I had to get myself over to say, Lord, if you want me to give that, I'll give that thing away. You just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And sometimes I've given things away because I was too attached. See, I ain't having anything like that that's going to make real attachment to me. That meant so much. Say, no. See, I got to keep over. What is a true riches? The church world today knows very little about the true riches. We think having stuff in the earth is a big thing. They know very little. We need a move of God. We need true riches. That's what we need. I'll take the anointing over money any day. See, the true riches. See, that's what we want, the true riches. There's nothing about, you know what? Then money becomes a wonderful thing to have. It don't control your life. It don't run it. You can have a good time with it. You can do and bless others with it. And it becomes a nice tool in the toolbox. But it ain't nothing some big deal that you have to have there to have your self-worth. So people think that I'll have faith because I have all these things. I don't give a rip what people think about my faith. I don't care at all. It don't matter. Hallelujah. Bible says, have your faith to yourself. A lot of people need to learn that. They should have never told people they had faith because they didn't. They should have just kept their blind mouths shut and had it to themselves. They'd have stayed out of trouble. Oh my. Hallelujah. Well, we are teaching on the areas of authority, on our authority that God has given us. We're going to look more into this subject. But these are things that God wants us to look into and see them because God wants to take us to a greater place. Hallelujah. And we're going to understand this. Number one, as we look at this, is we need to respond to authority by faith. No matter whether authority is given to you, if God gives you authority, you must start responding to it. It isn't going to just work for you. It don't work that way. You have to use it. You have to use that authority. You're going to have to step out in faith. You have to declare things when it don't seem like, man, what are you doing? Because you're going to find this. You're going to have to watch with people around you because, you know, you'll get criticized of people here. You get into weird areas of thinking about if you're stepping out in the areas of faith. If you're trying, look, the Bible says if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. As I learned this from Kenneth Hagin and it just put me in my place, he said, if you're not being persecuted, you're not living godly. People ain't complaining about your Christianity. It's because you ain't got none. If you step out and you step out and you start really following God, see, people get all upset. Today, we need to understand this. There's going to be persecution in the earth. The church is going to be persecuted. And the more the church steps out in the spirit, you're going to hear more criticism. See, if you want less criticism from people, just live ungodly. You won't hear much criticism and you won't have that problem. Just live ungodly. Just join the club, you know. But you start moving in the God, you start moving, I will guarantee you, when I was back in the 1980s, The more God started to manifest through me and that stuff, the more criticism I got from other Christians. In fact, the world seemed happier about me moving in the Spirit than Christians did. Christians get envious. They get mad about somebody moving in God because they're not. And they, instead of looking and rejoicing, see, if God moves through somebody, man, let's give a shout. I don't care who it is. Let's give a shout. But see, most people are selfish, self-centered. You know, he has to do it through me, and I don't like it when I see it through you, and, you know. See, why would God use you? You ain't as nice as me. And why would he use, you know? See, I'm more holy than you, you know? See, so God could move. He can't move through you, and if God moved through it, couldn't, you must be the devil, you know, because God could move. He'd have to do it through me. I'm so holy. See, people get in their little arrogance. I've watched it over the years, Christianity. People didn't like it. I've seen in churches I've been in as I was growing up spiritually, and somebody get moving over. You know, you get, especially, they hate it. A baby Christian come along, start acting, God manifests through them. My God, the older Christians in the church, they'd get their pacifiers out and put them in their mouths and cry and roll around the floors and yeah, you know. They shouldn't be doing that. They're not pure and holy like me. Well, folks, I know firsthand. I experienced it. See, I was really naive. God started, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, about 3 months after I got born again, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. In my bedroom, just listening to a tape about getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and got filled with the Holy Ghost. So, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was so stupid that I believed that gifts and manifestations of the Spirit would start happening through me. So I started believing it worked through me. And gifts started manifesting through me. So I went to this church, and, you know, you'd think people would be excited. Well, these people, you know, they're there. They've been born again for years and years. These people have been, some of them been born, some have been filled with the Spirit longer than I was old. And, you know, you'd think they'd be excited because I'd think, I'm going to a church and this is a Spirit-filled church. And I found out it was Spirit-filled, but it wasn't the Spirit I thought it was going to be when I got there. But there was a lot of them had some wrong spirits because they got all upset because this young Christian, God's moving through and God would manifest. And they got upset about it. So see, I learned early about this. But you know what? I'm just sort of stubborn. I don't back off. I ain't backing off with God to please some old buzzards that ain't going nowhere anyhow. And that's what they are, a bunch of old buzzards ain't going no place anyhow. They ain't going nowhere. And you know what? I found this out. They say can't teach old dog new tricks. There's a lot of truth in that. Because I tell you what, they ain't going to ever admit that they're wrong and they need to be taught things. No, I've been doing this for 40 years, and I don't give a what I've been doing. If God ain't moving, it ain't been working, so I want to give up the 40-year thing. Find something that works. No, we're going to keep beating the same dead horse that never gets up and does a thing. But we'll beat it. We'll keep yelling around it. We'll have prayer meetings around the old dead horse. And we'll meet every week and we're having a prayer meeting, praying around our old dead horse religion. And we're going to pray around it and God don't ever come and move or ever do a thing. And they just pray all the time and praying and believing God. I could shoot in the foot a lot of teaching on people and having praying and fasting. You know what? You don't need to pray and fast and carry on like people do to get God moving, do something. You know, people love to do stuff and they think their efforts is what makes God move. Praying and fasting don't change God at all. He never changes. It's about changing us. Now I might need changed, but God ain't ever need changed. And if God said he wasn't going to do something, I don't care how long you fast and pray, he ain't going to do it. You might pray till you get to the place where the devil will do it for you. But God ain't. You can push into things spiritually where you'll open the door for the devil to do stuff. It ain't hard. Baby Christians can get God to move for them easy. We know that by reading the Bible. The church in Corinth. Now read them. They were so carnal that Paul said, I can't talk to you as spiritual. I got to talk to you as carnal. That's what he said. I got to talk to you as mere men, he said. Mere men. In other words, I can't talk to you spiritual. And he said to them, you guys come behind in no gift. Do you know spiritual gifts are not tied to your spirituality? They're tied to the Holy Spirit being baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. See, we have this sorry teaching in the church today that teaches you get to be this great place of spirituality and God will move through you. Oh, dear God. I was Mr. Stupid. Born again, didn't know much of anything, and God would manifest. I had gifts. I had the gift of faith would operate through me on numbers of occasions when I was just a young, just a little stupid Christian. Just getting started in this stuff. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd have words of wisdom and words of knowledge. I would know things. I'd go get with God, pray about things. I'd have visions and all kind of stuff were happening, going on. Well, it couldn't have been based on spirituality. It didn't have none. I was just dumb and believed God would move through me. See, if you've been preached to the place that you got to arrive to an epitome of something to get God to use you, you got to become real spiritual. That's where most people are at. And I'm going to tell you what, the people that teach that stuff are wrong, and they have put people, lots of people can't ever break that thing. Because they get deep seated in the fact that somehow I got to arrive to some great spirituality for God to use me. I've watched this. As people get older in the Lord, they lose that simpleness of a childhood faith and gifts never operate through them anymore. Loads of people I grew up with in spirituality today, they don't get nothing operates through them. Nothing ever operates through them. Because they got to overthink they know something. God don't use me because I know a thing. God uses me because He's God and I give Him permission. He's allowed to use me in spite of me. You got to come to the place of faith. God moves by faith. God will use me and manifest gifts through me because He's God and the Bible said He would. We don't need gifts of the Spirit and manifestation if you have to become spiritual to get them to work. Because you need them to work so you can get spiritual. This false junk teaching that goes on around, and people do that. It's like, you know, I'm real spiritual. God uses me, so, you know, it's because I'm just Mr. Spirituality. I mean, look over the years. You study church history and find all the men and stuff that died early, big name ministers that died prematurely because of getting into sin. They had gifts and stuff manifesting through them, and it wasn't because they were spiritual. God used them in powerful ways in spite of all their carnality. Growing up spiritually is a good thing and learning some things is a good thing to do. But don't think God moves in you because you're spiritual. Don't let anybody preach that to you. Don't ever buy that ticket. I get real spiritual, then God can use me. God said if you just be faithful in little stuff, I'll use you. He didn't say, you get faithful in the big stuff so I can use you. But that's what's taught. You get faithful in the big stuff, then I'll use you. Say, no, He said, be faithful in the little stuff. I'll use you. Hallelujah. Folks, that's good preaching. Let's stand to our feet. I got meddling long enough, didn't I? It's good meddling, though. Hallelujah. See, God wants to take you. See, God wants to use you. You know, God wants to manifest His gifts through you. He wants to do things through you. Hallelujah. It's one of the things I'll tell you, this is take time to pray in other tongues. Take times to pray in other tongues. Activate your spirit. That's what praying in tongues does. See, I pray in tongues that don't seem to amount to anything. Well, that's two of us, so it don't matter. But the Bible says if I'm praying in other tongues, I'm building myself up in my most holy faith. So I don't care what I feel like when I'm doing it. I'm not moved by what I feel like. That don't matter. Doesn't matter what I feel. The Bible says I'm building myself up in my most holy faith. So see, that's the unseen. Faith is about unseen. It ain't about seeing and feelings and all that kind of stuff. And I will guarantee you this. There's not one of you here that God has not tried to manifest gifts through. There's not. See, sometimes we don't recognize things and we don't yield to them. See, I learned, find out that I had to yield to certain things. You know, all of a sudden inside of me, things would start coming up, but I'd sort of like, you know, they just seemed a little vague to me. You know, sometimes I'll get to things. It's like with me, like I say, interpretation comes to me from the standpoint. I'll speak in tongues, interpretation. All I'll get is one word. All I'll hear, you know, is prophecy. Lots of times in prophecy, I will have one word will just keep coming over and over to me, just one word. And that thing will come over and over to me. Maybe sometimes, maybe one or two, or sometimes I'll get a little phrase. And it'll just keep coming over and over. And lots of times, it don't make sense to me. But you know what? I never get any more till I speak that out. See, God always wants you to operate by faith. He's never going to give you the whole thing. See, it requires faith. Faith is what pleases Him. You're going to have to yield to that. And see, what we don't like, what if I do that and it's wrong or I mess up? Well, join the club. Dear Lord. I never met anybody who was perfect at this stuff. I mean, you always, all the big name ministers have been done bloated in the last couple of years here that been so stupid and the stuff they've said. You couldn't do worse than they did. I mean, my words, dear Lord, you'd have to do better than they did. See, so don't get yourself afraid to miss it, because at times you will. You'll miss it. You do that, but it doesn't matter. The whole thing is you learn by doing as you do, as you practice it and do it. You get more proficient at it. Like over time, I've learned how to yield to certain things that I didn't know as much about how to yield to. But over time of just doing it, and I realize. And then what happens, you'll find this out. Somebody else will be ministering the same gift, and because you've yielded to it, you'll realize them doing it. And I've learned some things by listening to other people operating that gift and realizing, things I need to yield to. So it's all a learning thing. But hallelujah, let God use you. Amen. You wouldn't believe how many times what God has given you, somebody needed to hear it. But because you didn't say it, they never heard it. See, this is one thing you need to understand. The gifts aren't for you. God don't operate gifts for you. My gifts, my gift for preaching and any manifestations, none of them are for me. They're always for other people. My teaching's not for me. It's for others. The anointing's on me to teach others. The gifts that operate through me are not for me. They're for somebody, they're others. That's who it's for. It's never for me. See, so when you go over to the gift side and you keep looking at the fact, well, what about me? How does this operate? What am I going to look like? Well, now you're already messing up because you're making it all about you, and it ain't about you to begin with. It's not about you to begin with. God wants to use us. We're a body, and God wants to manifest something through you to bless somebody else in the body, to help somebody else in the body. And you got to learn to look at it like that. God's not a fool. He's not a fool. And this is the way it operates. It operates in the body. People say, I want God to speak. Well, maybe you're the voice He's been wanting to get to speak. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, well, let Him use Mike. Glory to God. Father, we just want to thank You this morning. Lord God, You're so good. And hallelujah, You're working for us. You're never working against us. Lord God, You have wonderful, wonderful and glorious things planned. And Lord God, we're learning more and more about how to cooperate with You. How to cooperate with Your plans and Your purposes. And Lord God, I'm just so grateful because You desire to use us. And Lord God, I believe the ones here want to be used. I believe that's their desire. And so Father God, Father, we just ask You to teach us, instruct us, give us understanding, Lord God, to how we can yield to You better. Hallelujah. How we can yield to You to allow You to manifest Yourself through us to bless other people. Hallelujah. How You can manifest the gifts of the Spirit. Lord God, Lord, if we got baptized with the Holy Ghost and we spoke in other tongues, then we're supposed to have manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. That's supposed to be the norm of the Spirit-filled life. And so, Father God, I just want to thank You for manifesting. You told us, and it says in the Scriptures, in Corinthians, that we're supposed to covet to prophesy. Hallelujah. You wouldn't told us to covet to prophesy if we don't ever prophesy. You desired that we would speak by the Spirit of God, by being inspired by the Holy Ghost to say words out that would bless and help others. So I want to thank You, Lord God. Father, we set ourselves to desire earnestly. Lord God, we earnestly want those things, those manifestations. We want words of wisdom and words of knowledge, Lord God, that come forth. Hallelujah. Lord God, that brings Your wisdom and Your understanding on the situations, Lord God. Lord, and I know many times a prophecy is, Lord God, is just to bring encouragement to others about the situation that they're in, to bring verification. And Lord God, there needs to be that more and more in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, your confirming presence of what you're doing and carrying out in people's lives. And we thank you for it, Father God. Father, I thank you that they're going to operate in us more and more and more through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you. I thank you for rising up in us. I thank you for quickening us. Hallelujah. In our spirits, but not just on our spirits, Lord God, that things dawn upon our minds in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Of what's going on the inside. Hallelujah. Teach us to have a sensitivity about what's going on in us in Jesus' name. I want to thank you, Lord God, that we're having an ear to the still small voice in us that is speaking in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father God, Father, you have given us authority. And Lord, I thank you for what we have been taught over the years of what men didn't know. But Lord God, Lord, there is much more that we don't know, that we don't understand. And I can see, Lord God, I see things out there, but I don't know exactly what to say to get there, to that place. But I know there's a place of authority to step in. I know, Lord God, there's things beyond what we have known. Lord God, I see them, and it's almost like you can just about grasp it. But Lord God, there's things I just don't understand. Lord God, we need to understand. Give us revelation and understanding, Lord God. Lord, by your word and faith in your word, we can step out and take a hold of those things. So Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you bring revelation. Lord God, I believe there's people, it's just like with Ken Kasich, and there's others that you have inspired and given revelation to, Lord God, who you've shown them that need to speak those things. And Father God, we ask you to bring them across our path, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to bring these understanding and these teachings to us, Lord God, that will enlighten us in these areas so we can step into the fullness that you've called us to. Hallelujah. Lord, so we can allow Jesus not to be just a Lord as a confession, but actually Lord and rule in the church. Hallelujah. That's what we want. Hallelujah. And so we thank you, Lord God, you've started us on this wonderful path, and you will bring us to completion in this wonderful path. And we thank you for today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.